He is risen. Just thought I'd remind you that it's Easter season. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for today's sermon is a great one for us at this end of a semester, at the end of a school year, at the beginning of the week before call day. But of course, none of you noticed that call day is next week, and absolutely none of you noticed that vicarage assignments are next week, of course. When I was in the seminary, it seemed as if no one could concentrate for the week before, and some of the professors, and I'm sure some of ours here also like to do that, would torture the students with particularly interesting work that week prior to call day to remind them that they were still at the seminary. Somewhere along the line, if it's not that particular week, it's a little earlier, or perhaps the morning when you're preparing for the service, that you discover that your seminary career is about to come to an end, or at least a year-long hiatus. At that particular moment in time, you begin to think nostalgically about your seminary career, because you kind of realize that call day is something like an alarm clock going off, and you're about to get a life. You're about to go forth, either to assist in the pastoral ministry, or are about to be called into that service and to be placed in your first parish. Everything that you've gone through in the past seems comforting in the light of what is to come. Sure, you've been well trained. You know your doctrine quite well, at least one would hope so by this point. You know pretty much what to expect when you get there, at least you think, but there's something a little intimidating about the church saying to you, you are now God's gift to us, go forth and preach. It's something that is hard to really get a whole grasp on. The one thing that's for sure you know is that the nighttime of seminary is over. You have to awake from your sleep and make a change in your life so that you can serve the Lord on a day-to-day basis in the parish. At a time like this, it's good to hear the words which St. Paul said to the Romans. You know the times we live in, that it is time for you to wake up, because your salvation is nearer now than when you believed for the first time. Night is almost over, day is near. Take off the works of darkness and put on the weapons of light. The first image that we have here is of that early morning when you finally wake up and are ready to face the day. At that point, St. Paul says and reminds you that you change from your night clothes into your day clothes. The image is also kind of a little military here as well. It pictures you awaking in a camp out on the battlefront and getting ready for the next day. Not only do you have to change into daytime clothes, but you also have to put on your weapons, because if you don't, you might find yourself in a particularly tight circumstance fairly quickly. He uses this image for us in terms of how we deal with our day-to-day life, because it is so terribly easy not to fight Satan, the world, and our flesh, but to simply surrender to it. Most of the time, Satan will not come to you with great and grand and nefarious deeds. He's not likely to present to you the attractive alternative of becoming an Arian in your first Lutheran parish. He's more likely to approach you with all kinds of seductive sorts of reasoning. Well, maybe you don't have to argue this doctrinal point right now, right here. Let's have a little bit of peace, a little bit of quiet. Sure, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are in town, but as long as they stay over on the other side of town, who cares? Or, Grandma Schmidt's been around for quite some time, and sure, she's got a few things mixed up, but it's okay to let her get away with it this time. Or perhaps He might say to you, "Look, your salary isn't necessarily all that secure. Why rock the boat? Why not sit back a little bit, wait your time, and you'll get your chance later? Life is considerably more pleasant if you fit in." I don't know if the phrase is all of that secure here at this seminary, but when I was going to St. Louis, they used to tell us to cooperate or graduate. And when you got to the parish, they told you, be nice to the district president so that you will be on the appropriate call lists the next time. And so it goes. It feels really good when you indulge the impulses of your human nature, when you kind of go to sleep at the switch, just sort of going along, not scaring up any temptations, not causing any conflict. It's a lot easier to sleep in the extra hour rather than get up and go see that cantankerous so-and-so who's down the block and you know that you're going to have to visit sooner or later. It's a lot easier to perhaps take that other drink when perhaps you shouldn't than to pass it by. It is easier to engage in the parish gossip than it is to tell the parish gossip's head elder, perhaps the wife of the president of the congregation, that she ought to respect the Eighth Commandment. The problem with giving in and going along and living lifestyle the way that the world, the flesh, and the devil would have you to do is it quickly puts you to sleep. And before you know it, everything that is going on around you comes crashing down, because the very foundations of what God has been trying to do in your life and ministry have been undermined because you've fallen asleep. That's why Paul says it's time to allow the alarm clock to ring, to wake up from your sleep and to arise, to take off the deeds of the flesh, to put aside the temptations that Satan would run your way, to engage in the military discipline that should be in your life, to take on the weapons which you are given, lest we think that it is our doing, these weapons and this fight. We need to remember what the weapons are that St. Paul is asking us to put on. They're not that wonderful systematic knowledge you got from Dr. Scare's class. Those weapons are not the great and mighty wisdom which you have been imparted from our fine institution of learning, as valuable as all those things are. The weapons that the Lord gives you are in His Word, His gospel and the sweet message, the Word and the sacraments. They are allowing God to do the fighting for you. After all, this battle that we're engaged in has already been won. Jesus, on that first Easter, rose again from the dead and defeated Satan, sin, and the power of our flesh. Because He died and rose again in our place, we can now live a new life. All we need do is take God's own weapons into the battle and allow Him to do the fighting for us. There is very good news that Paul adds in all of this. Why are we doing this fight? After all, it seems as if this is going to go on forever. It seems as if the world and the flesh and the devil are winning the battle, and that every day things are getting worse and worse. But St. Paul has a curious take on this whole thing. He said, what's happening now is that you are closer, even closer to your salvation than that day when you were first saved. Because time has passed, you will someday and shortly be in the presence of God Himself, where your sin and death will be no longer a part of your life, where you will be with Him and reign with Him forever. The time is short, and there's so much to do. That's why we go into the battle, eagerly and in the power of God's Spirit. We do battle with evil because God has called us to do so, and because He's already won the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. By going forth and being awake, By fighting the battle with God's weapons, you become a part of that victory which God has given to all of us. You do battle for him and bring God's word to others so that many may be called into his kingdom and so that all of his flock may be present on the last day. And so enjoy the last few weeks of your seminary sleep, but do be sure to set the alarm clock to wake up on the day of your installation so that as you wake up and put on the armor of Christ and bear his weapons, you might join in the victory which he has won for all of us. Amen.